I'm Ash Clifton, and this is my writer's dossier.
No writers were harmed in the production of this podcast.
Today in the interrogation chair, it's dossier member Ash Clifton, the Edgar-nominated author of Twice the Trouble from Crooked Lane Books. In this episode, we talk about his current obsession, his deep roots in Gainesville, Florida, what the real deal is behind the dark side of Orlando, and in our rapid-fire round, we have another 80s gauntlet for him to choose from. Welcome to the Dossier Podcast. Hey everybody, thank you for joining us today on the Dossier Podcast. I'm Jeff Circle, your host, and today we have my pal Ash Clifton, the Edgar-nominated author, like I said earlier, of Twice the Trouble. This is such a cool book, and the cover's amazing. And right now, we are lucky enough to have the author himself right here with us. Ash Clifton, thanks for joining us here on the Dossier Podcast.
You bet, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Hey, we keep this quick here. This is this short, down, dirty, get right to the questions. People want to know, what's the deal with Ash Clifton? So I'm going to give it to him right now. You grew up in Gainesville, Florida. You live in Gainesville, Florida. Your dad was the chief of police there for over a decade. You're an alumnus from the University of Florida, as is most of your family, and you're a seasonal regular at the football stadium. So is there anyone in Gainesville who doesn't know you or have heard of your family legacy there?
Well, you know, it used to be very few people about 10 years ago, but it was really because of my dad, of course. You know, my dad was a local celebrity. He was on TV. I mean, I'll tell you a story. When I went to grad school, I got as far away from Gainesville as I could. I went to Tucson, Arizona, at the University of Arizona to get my MFA.
That's across the country.
I drove out there in my little Econobox car and never been out west before. And I had been there less than one semester. I'd been there like 2 months. And God help us, that's when Danny Rawling, the serial killer, came through Gainesville and was killing people like every day. He killed five people in a week. And, you know, and there's my dad on TV. All my friends are seeing him on national TV and they're saying, "Hey, is that your dad?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's my dad." And he was already pretty locally famous before that. So he was kind of briefly a national figure. So I mean, everybody around town knew him. And because of that, a lot of people knew me, but that was the only real reason anybody knew me. And my brother is very, very outgoing and popular.
So if anyone's driving through Gainesville, Florida, and they get pulled over and they just say, "Hey, I know the Cliftons. So come on, give me a break," right?
That was once true. It is no longer. Sadly, it is no longer true. I did get out of several tight scrapes by just showing my driver's license.
Tight scrapes.
I'm ashamed to say.
Scrapes. Yeah. We don't want to piss off the chief of police by arresting his son.
No.
All right. Hey, serious question here. All right. You have an obsession we're going to disclose here on the Dossier Podcast. First, people definitely need to get to know you through your blog at ashcliftonwriter.com/blog. Your latest post is about how you still literally dream about going around the Oaks Mall in Gainesville as a kid and how that nostalgia still hits you. So when's the last time you've been in a Spencer's Gifts or listened to the 80s channel on satellite radio? I mean, are you relishing your time soaking up the vapor wave and the synth wave, as you call it?
Well, you know, thank you for going up and seeing my latest post, which happens to be about that subject. Well, you know, first off, I'm obviously dating myself. I'm a child of the 80s. I went to high school in the 80s. And that was kind of the peak mall culture. You know, it's about 95 on, it started to wane, I think. As I say, in a town like Gainesville, Florida, in suburban America, the mall was the only thing to do most of the time when you were a high school kid. You're too young to go to bars. You're too old to, you know, go to the playground and stuff. So you went to the mall and you hung out. And I've been to Spencer's within the last year, I'm happy to say. Not super recent, but it hasn't been that long. And yes, I just go in.
Did you buy anything?
We still have one. God bless them. No, I did not, but I'm still open. It's still plugging at the Gainesville Mall, the same one, same slot that we saw low those many years ago.
Well, we have a Spencer's here in Northwest Ohio at the mall too. It's crazy. We went in a couple years ago. Yeah, just walked around
I'm pulling for them. I should hoping buy something just there to show the support. Yeah. God bless them. So, and it's nice to see the mall at all still open. You know, any mall.
Yeah, I know. It's so crazy. They're just going, just disappearing. Hey, we mentioned your dad earlier as the police chief in Gainesville. I see some parallels there with being a preacher's kid and the local reputation that can come with being that with how your friends and neighbors might perceive you. So did you get in more or less trouble because of your station in life as the chief of police's kid?
Well, I'll answer that in two parts.
Mystery Mike's was born in 1986, but Mike Bursaw's passion for books began way before that. When he was a boy, the bookmobile in Minneapolis would park across the street from his house, and Mike would check out as many books as were allowed. By the time he was 15, he was working for a wholesale bookseller, and he's been selling books ever since. Mystery Mike is a legend in the book community, and after a long career, he's closing up shop. It's tough to see the store close, but that means another thing. 45% off their entire inventory. Take advantage now. Things are literally flying off the shelves and being shipped all over the world. Head straight to MysteryMikes.com and get a great deal on books you're not going to find anywhere else. That's MysteryMikes.com. And thanks, Mike, for everything you've done for all of us.
I was always the good kid. I was the oldest.
Paging Cliff.
My dad.
Paging your brother. Okay, go ahead.
Paging my brother. I mean, I think he'd be the first to admit that he probably acted out a bit in reaction to our dad being the chief of police. My dad didn't become chief of police until I was in high school. I was kind of already set, whereas my brother Colin, now he was younger. He's 10 years younger than me. So he was, I don't think either one of us really decided to be actively into bad stuff, as you would think a lot of preachers. My dad was totally cool. He wasn't a moralist. He was a very progressive guy. He was very popular with pretty much every faction and group in this county. So, you know, anything my brother and I did was our own doing, not as a reaction against the authority figure in the house. But probably, I think Colin would admit that it's probably more so for him than for me. He was a little bit acting out, a little bit.
So there you have it, folks. Ash Clifton, the nicer brother of the Clifton family, never got in any trouble. He's a good kid, raised on hose water and neglect at the mall. So, all right, we're learning a lot about you here. But you had one wayward stint in Orlando when you moved there for a short while. You met Kathy and got married. Then you moved back to Gainesville. Congratulations on finding a spouse there. But in your unredacted dossier, people can read at thewritersdossier.com, you revealed that you called Orlando one of the strangest places on earth because of all of the inbound travelers that end up there. There's quite a seedy side to Mouse Town, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think anybody who's lived there any length of time will be the first to tell you that the flip side of Disney World is strip joints and drug dealers and, you know, anything you want that you can get somewhere in Orlando or in Orange County. You know, I used to have a job downtown near Lake Eola, and we were close to a little 7-Eleven. I would go there for, you know, Cokes or whatever. One day I was walking there, and as I walked through the parking lot, there were like cops just swarmed the place. They were all wearing black ski masks. They had their badges on, lanyards. They were busting some drug dealer guy. And that was just one of those things that happens in downtown Orlando all the time. You know, it's got a pretty high, I don't know what the official crime rate is, but stuff like that goes down. And Orlando is also a place where you've got very well-off people living very close to very poor people. You know, the neighborhoods are, a lot of southern cities are like that, but they're not segregated yet. They're segregating, but you know, economically, they're still pretty mixed. So you can drive a couple of blocks and be in a pretty bad part of town.
How long were you there?
I think I was there about 4 years. Yeah, about that.
All right. Yeah. All right. All right. Hey, big deal here. Your Edgar-nominated novel, Twice the Trouble. Like I said, folks, you can see it on the screen. Twice the Trouble cover is phenomenal. It deals with a seedy construction firm. Now, you got that idea from real life, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I worked as an IT guy for a consulting company that was actually out of Manhattan. And they had a branch, as one does, in Orlando. I won't explain why, but so we would get hired out by all kinds of companies to just go in and figure things out, write software, network, you know, run cables, stuff like that. And for whatever reason, a lot of our clients happened to be in the construction business. And at least one of them, you know, I really liked the guy who ran it, but he scared the hell out of me. He's a big dude, you know, and he was a little bit of Tony Soprano, you know, he was always like joshing you. And he was very affable, but a little scary. And as I watched this company, I was like more and more convinced that there's something shady going on here. I don't know what it is, but yeah. And that was not an exceptional thing. A lot of the businesses that I came to work with, many of them were totally straight, totally by the book, totally cool. Many of them were not. You could just tell that there's something odd going on in this company, which I don't think is particularly an Orlando thing. I think it happens a lot of places where there's a lot of money and churn economically and stuff like that. But yeah.
So that was something that you were able to pull from your background to mold into some of the characters in Twice the Trouble?
Well, yeah. Obviously, the company in Twice the Trouble is an extreme exaggeration of what I suspected might be happening at this company in Orlando. But it was an inspirational thing, yeah. And some of the people in it were people I encountered based on people I encountered in other companies, you know, shady types, thieves, crooks.
Your book wins the...
You name it.
When your book wins the Edgar, I'm saying drop a couple anonymous copies in the mail, P.O. box, and use gloves. just a strange gift arrived here at the construction office.
Right, right. I owe these people, but I don't think I'll be reaching out. I really don't.
Ash, you were kind enough to agree to participate in an anthology that I'm putting together with Leonardo Audio. It's going to be turned into an audiobook, and it's called something along the lines of Myopic Duplicity, Do the Ends Ever Justify the Means? And You're putting something together for that. I'm really excited. What can you say without giving too much away?
Well, I'm going to be giving you a short story. It's a longish short story, which is what we're after. Yep. It's called Hallucinogenic Toreador. And it's named after a painting that hangs in the Salvador Dali Museum in St. Petersburg, Florida. And it's about a woman who works in a nail salon. She has a troubled past, and one day someone comes in and changes her life. And I think I'll leave it at that.
All right. Good stuff. That's perfect. I love it. Folks, I can't wait for everyone to get this anthology. It's got some great writers. Ash is one of the first ones I asked. I was really excited that you joined on. So we're putting that together right now. And back to Twice the Trouble again. Edgar nominated, folks. You are in there with Kerry Hakoda, Audrey Lee, David Lewis, Lawrence Robinson, and Henry Wise for Holy City. So congratulations again on that. People need to grab Twice the Trouble. Now, this is best first novel, right?
Yeah. Yep. It's everybody nominated. I guess it's their first published novel. So, yeah. And it is for me. I've written two others. Yes,
that is
I've
so exciting. I'm so happy for you. That's so cool.
Thanks.
Twice the Trouble, folks. Yeah, you betcha. We've been in the dossier for over a year now. Really glad to have this relationship. Can't wait to see what comes out next, but we're going to continue to encourage people to grab Twice the Trouble. But now, this is it. The Rapid Fire 80s Edition Special List. You don't know what's coming. I just made this up on the fly because, like you, hose, water, and neglect. Be home by the time the streetlights come on, folks. Okay, first one. Just pop the first thing that comes in your mind. You tell me what you're going with in the 80s, Journey or REO Speedwagon?
Holy heck. you know, that's a devil's choice right there.
It's called Rapid Fire. Come on.
Yeah, okay. It's got to be Journey. Yeah.
Journey. You know, Okay. I'm gonna break my own rule. Stop rapid fire. I worked in a restaurant once where the executive chef looked at me one day and he held up his fingers and he said, Beethoven, Bach, Steve Perry. And he turned around and walked away. Attorney. All right. Good choice. All right. Well, Speedwagon. Or yeah. Speedwagon. Rapid fire continues here in the 80s. In the 80s. Corey Feldman or Corey Haim?
Corey Feldman, mainly because I don't know who came with. Well,
so Lost
maybe I'm not
Boys.
That old.
Lost Boys with a giant cast. Their best line was Death by Stereo. Everybody go out and watch Lost Boys. All right. Fast Times at Ridgemont High or Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Ferris Bueller. Yeah.
Ferris Bueller. All right. Trans Am or Camaro? Both have either T-tops or sunroof.
I think Trans Am because it was the Smokey and the Bandit car. So
he's going with the big gold eagle on the hood, folks. All right.
Yeah. Yep.
Nod to the Mall. Last one here. Orange Julius or the concession stand at the movie theater?
Concession stand. Yeah. Spent a lot more time at the movie theater than I did the Orange Julius. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you used to do
the movie?
You do. Absolutely. Did you used to hit the arcades at the mall?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Without fail. There were two and we hit them both.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
If I could get all those quarterbacks, I'd get all those quarters that I put in those machines. I'd have a lot of quarters.
Dude, I don't know how much grass I cut and how much snow I shoveled for dollar bills that I converted into quarters, took down to the putt-putt, and just spent hours in the video arcade.
Yeah.
That's insane. That's it. That's the 80s, that was, folks, right there.
It's a real motivation.
Kept me working.
Cool. Sweet.
Kept me working. All right, folks. Again, this is Ash Clifton, Twice the Trouble, Edgar nominated, super guy from Gainesville. If you're ever in town, you get pulled over, just say, hey, I know the Cliftons. You're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. Thanks for joining us, Ash Clifton, here on the Dossier Podcast. People can find you at ashcliftonwriter.com. Follow that blog. Follow him on social media. Share, like, subscribe, hit those bells and buttons, and see what's next from Ash Clifton. Brother, thanks for joining us tonight. Really appreciate you taking the time. I'd like to tell you about Crooked Lane Books. Crooked Lane was founded in 2014 to publish the highest quality crime fiction titles in both print and electronic editions. In 2020, they opened Alcove Press for upmarket book club fiction that focuses on family, friendship, and community. A while back at a book conference, I spent about an hour talking to Sarah J. Henry there, who does acquisitions, and I was amazed by her ability to see a good book, then the potential to make it even better. Now, she told me something about her process that's completely off the record, but I can say that she has a method that works. If you're looking for a book and your favorite authors don't have anything new out, try going straight to your favorite publisher. Depending on what you're looking for, Crooked Lane Books might just be your next new go-to place to find something really good to read. You can find them at crookedlanebooks.com and follow them on social media at Crooked Lane Books. The Dossier Podcast is a production of The Idea Academy.